Welcome to the Huntington Way Show, where we help parents navigate the educational maze. I'm your host, Yvonne Strawn, author and founder of InspirationalHomeschooling.com. I'm speaking with Carolyn Martin, and she is the Czech Director of Government Relations. I was talking with her in a previous episode about legislation and how it diminishes parents' authority in their kids' lives. And so we're going to delve deeper into that, and then we're going to talk about also how to get involved with your legislators and what that legislative process looks like. You're listening on Power Talk 1040 AM, 98.5 FM, and 95.7 FM. Please like and subscribe to Power Talk 1040 on YouTube. Welcome back to the show, Carolyn. It's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Yvonne.
Of course. So to recap, we discussed Carolyn's passion for homeschool freedoms, parental rights, and religious liberty, and we discovered how we can stay informed about the issues, and then we started really talking about parental authority diminishing in their kids' lives. So I just want to delve deeper into that, Carolyn. Can you talk a little bit about that and what the legislation is coming to?
Yeah, sure. I was saying previously how the legislators really believe that parents are a barrier to the well-being of their children. And so they pass a lot of legislation along that lines. I mean, in 2019, we saw the lowering of the age of consent for mental health care, for children to get their own mental health care to 12 years old. Now, I know there are some schools out there that don't even abide by that. I've heard stories of 9-year-olds and their parents not being able to find out what goes on in the counseling room. So there are a lot of things going on out there, but this session, they brought House Bill 23-1003. Which will put more of these mental health screenings into the schools, and then keeping the parents from knowing that their child even took the screening and then what the results were. That keeps them from knowing what's really going on in the public schools, right? So they give a lot of lip service to, yes, we want parents to be involved, but I don't think they really do, because they hold children's rights above parents' rights. So that's where we're at today, Colorado.
Yeah, that's so concerning for parents. And, you know, it's concerning for me as a parent. Oh, boy, you know, since we are becoming affected by this legislation more and more, parents need to get involved. And so I'm thinking that they need to know first what the legislative process looks like. Can you explain that?
Yeah, that's pretty complicated. That's a pretty complicated process.
Okay.
And, you know, every state does it differently. But here in Colorado, we have a House and a Senate. And right now, the House is dominated by Democrats. There's 65 representatives in the House. 46 of them, sorry, are Democrats, and 19 of those are Republicans. So they have a two-thirds majority, which means they will do whatever they want to do. And then in the Senate, it's almost a supermajority. We've got 35 senators, we've got 23 Democrats and 12 Republicans. So there really isn't a balance there. And I'll tell you what, during this session, they have been shutting down legislators in the minority, with different using pulling out different rules that they haven't used for years to just shut down debate. And really, the legislators just want to have their voice heard, because they're representing their constituents. So we should all be concerned about that. But what happens is a bill is introduced in either the House or the Senate, and then it gets assigned to a committee where the public gets to have input into that bill. And that is a constitutional requirement, that they have a committee hearing where the public can come and voice their concerns over a bill. Well, they're even shutting down some of that time that they give for those debates in the committee hearings. You really only get about 2 or 3 minutes to say your piece, which really doesn't give you much time. And pretty much when they come into the committee room, they kind of know where they're going to vote. So you really need to do your work ahead of time. So what happens after committee is it goes back to that chamber that introduced the bill. They're supposed to debate it on the floor, have a robust debate, Like I said, that's not happening. And then the next day, they will actually have a vote on it. And then it goes back, and then it goes over to the other chamber, whichever chamber it started in, it goes over to the opposite chamber, and the process begins again. And then it goes to the governor's desk for his signature or veto. So that's it in a nutshell. There's a lot of other pieces, but in a nutshell, that's kind of how it happens.
Wow. So how does the bill come to legislation? Do they have sponsors? And, is there something that we can do at that point even?
Yeah, this all starts way, well before the session even begins. And I'll tell you what, most of these bills are coming out of special interest. That's where they're getting their ideas. That's where a lot of times they're handed the language, say, run this bill by a special interest or a lobbyist who's being paid to push the agenda that they have. Most of the time, they'll agree with the agenda, so they'll pick up the bill and take it. But there are also some lawyers there that the legislature employs to try to fit whatever idea you have for a bill into the law books that we have here in Colorado. The Colorado Revised Statutes is what they call it. But it still starts well before session starts. It's just the rest of us, the people, don't get to see behind the curtain until it's actually introduced into the first chamber,
Oh,
which is kind of problematic.
yeah. Now I know you were saying that a lot of times when you see that a bill is being introduced, you don't see it until session.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, unless somebody's nice and I try to establish relationships with these legislators so that they'll give me a heads up on bills, but that doesn't always happen. I am a different kind of lobbyist because I am principled, passion driven, where most lobbyists are paid by other outside interests to do that job. So they don't have the same passion or principles when they're lobbying. But I also don't have a lot of money behind me, right? So politicians are really motivated by money. So sometimes they don't let me know because they don't want me to know that it's coming because they know I'll oppose it and I don't have the money to stop them. So that's why we need the power of the people, right? to come against it, to come against the things that they're putting forth. So it really is driven by money and special interest up there, which is kind of a sad thing. But I do want to encourage people that everything starts locally. Okay, there's a lot you can do here with the city council and county commissioners because if you'll notice, whoever ran for city council or county commissioners, they end up there at the state house. So we got to start at the beginning where they're being trained to be these legislators. Just saying. So.
Oh, that makes sense. So how can people get involved locally?
Yeah, it's harder. I tell you, it's harder to watch the city council and the county commissioners. I mean, you can watch online, but they certainly don't have websites that are as robust as the legislatures, with showing you where people are voting and stuff. So some of it is really connecting with some of the local groups that are interested in the same kind of things that you are, so that you can get to feel the pulse of it. But you should know every representative that is representing you. Who's the city council person that represents you? You can get information from them and the county commissioners as well. You should know who they are, at least. But definitely try to get their cell phone numbers so that if an issue comes up, if you're reading a local paper or listening to local news, you might hear something and say, what's going, texting them and calling them and saying, what are you doing? Can be a good thing.
Oh, so you can just
You
text or
can.
call
You got
your
to get their
own.
numbers first, but
Yeah.
yes.
Or even an email, maybe? I
Yes,
don't
an
know,
email,
but
absolutely. You can always email them.
yeah.
Those are freely up there on the website. But if you
Okay.
establish that relationship, then they will listen to you. I mean, I've done that over the years with some of the people that represent me, and I'm not necessarily lobbying those groups of people, but they will at least listen when I say, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
They'll give me a reason at least.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know that there are other options than just going to directly to a legislator, that we can kind of start working earlier and try to be more impactful and in what we do. So, Carolyn, I want to thank you so much again for leading the effort in defending our rights and our freedoms. When we come back, Carolyn and I will talk more about the legislative process and just more specifically how you can get involved. Thank you. Welcome back to the Huntington Way Show. You are listening on Power Talk 1040 AM, 98.5 FM, and 95.7 FM. Please like and subscribe to Power Talk 1040 on YouTube. I'm talking with Carolyn. She's the Czech Director of Government Relations, and we are delving deeper into ways that the legislation is impacting society and homeschooling and even our education of our kids in the public schools. So, welcome to the show, Carolyn.
Thanks, Yvonne.
All right, so I really want to delve deeper into how the legislations and what is happening in schools impacts our culture and our society today.
Yeah, it's huge. The next generation is being trained and educated through our system. And if you have re been reading the headlines, you know, during COVID, they lost some years of schooling, right? But even before that, once Common Core came in, really, the test scores for reading and math plummeted. And nobody is looking at that, why that's happening, right? It's all about mental health and it's not about academics anymore. They brought in this thing called social emotional learning and it replaces academics all the time. And what social emotional learning is doing is trying to shape the attitudes, beliefs, and values of our kids to bring them more into a Marxist alignment, right? To Marxist beliefs. So, this whole move into that is what is going to be destructive to our culture because we are free people. We don't want to live in a socialist state. But they are training kids to think in these ways that the state is the savior, not God. No longer is God the ultimate or the authority over all things. It is the state. And really, the legislators believe that. So, as they're making law, that's what they're thinking. I'm going to take care of everybody and help everyone. But in the school system, you can find a lot of information out there about all this social emotional learning, the critical race theory, and how it all goes together, right, to bring about a society of children and people who really rely on the state. I call it the education industrial complex. They're all moving in the same direction, and the UN really has their hands in this to make global citizens. I've been to school board meetings, and they sit there and talk about how great it is. We're going to make global citizens. You know what? I don't want a global citizen. I want a citizen who understands our Constitution and the uniqueness of the American experiment to give freedom. People are rushing to get here for freedom. They're not leaving to go to socialist countries. So we need to uphold who we are, not be melded into a global society. So yes, we globally interact with everyone, but we don't need to become like them. So anyway, if you go to commoncorediva.com, you will find lots of information. She started really delving into the education arena around the Common Core issue, but it has evolved into bigger things, right? How the federal government has taken over education, how the UN is involved in this, how the social scores, where we're moving with that, and digital currency. It's all connected because they need to build a society and they start with the children. Why we as homeschoolers need to care about that is because these are the people we live with, these are the people we marry, the people we work for, the people that work for us. And our worldview is being shut out, the worldview of freedom in Christ especially, but it's being shut out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really the kids are being taught what to think instead of how to think, and really taking the foundation and all their values and just setting them aside because, we need to all think alike and accept everybody and everything. instead of holding values and morals and ethics and trying to help others and be kind and all of these things. So that is a very important point that you are making, and I really appreciate that you brought that up. So,
Can I just tell you about a
yeah,
bill that just
please
came up?
do.
That just came up on Friday. I don't know when this airs, but on Friday, it's S the Senate Bill 23-296. It's about harassment and discrimination in the schools. But how they define harassment is unwelcome verbal, written, or physical conduct. Okay, so what they're saying is if you say something to me that's unwelcomed, you are committing harassment or discrimination. You will then be investigated. And we're talking kindergarten through 12th grade. We're not talking adults here. We are, we're talking kindergartners. They say the wrong thing. I mean, how many times did I say the wrong thing? You learn when you say the wrong thing, the reaction that you get, you learn how to live in society. But no, they want to take the strong arm of the law and the strong arm of the school to come after these kids and do investigations, put them in case management systems. This is a chilling of free speech for our children. And you can imagine what it's going to be like for people who believe in God to go into the public school and speak anything that has to do with those values. Your kids will be investigated. And parents, there's nothing in the bill about parental involvement at all in that. So it's really scary what they're doing. And this, we've only got 2 weeks left. So this will be ramrodded through the process and you will see it.
Wow. And I could
Anyway.
see where this could be a rabbit hole. I mean, you're sitting there, they're investigating the kids, the parents don't know about it, and then is that the way that they get into your home life and, start investigating in the home as well? And then separating kids from parents, well, your parents don't know, and don't pay attention to your parents, pay attention to what we say. And so
Well,
that.
absolutely. I mean, they're doing that through this harassment, definition, but also that mental health stuff. But also, I mean, I'm sure most parents have seen it when they go to the doctor's office. As soon as the kid hits 12, you are not allowed in the room, and they're asking them all kinds of personal questions that have nothing to do with the reason you're there. And so they do have reporting power, strong reporting power to the Child Protective Services. And actually, I think it was 76% of cases that are sent before CPS are unsubstantiated. So families are being upended for no good reason because of suspicion. And now we're creating the society of suspicious people of abuse. So, and remember, like I said, homeschooling is a risk factor, according to them, for abuse and neglect.
Yeah, and
This
you,
needs to stop. Yeah.
yeah, and you see it coming through society now too. I mean, the people that are serving us and trying to help us, first responders, police officers, everything like that, it's like we're looking at them with a microscope when they're trying to help us. And yes, we do need to pay attention to, how people are being treated, but we also need to be supporting the people who are supporting us and protecting us and helping us. And so it really starts with the education and then, goes into the families and then into society, like you are saying. There are some resources where people can find out what's going on in these public schools.
Yeah, like I was saying before, Common Core Diva is a great place, but also Lisa Logan. She's a mom out of Utah. She has a Substack, and she's got some really great information on there about what's happening with these social emotional learning programs and how it's all tied in with the social scores and things like that. And so you need to know that. But you also, you need to pay attention to what's going on in these school boards. They need to be fighting back against some of this stuff that's coming down from the state level. We talk about local control in our school districts, but really the legislature is passing standards. Those standards are being formulated by the Department of Education in Colorado, and then they're pushed down, and they always have money attached to them. That's why the school districts never fight back. They need to stop taking the money, and then they can actually have local control of their system.
Wow,
So.
this is such important information. I really want to just have you share how, again, that parents can get involved with, homeschooling freedom and all that you do, and how they can get in contact with you.
Yeah, definitely. Go to check.org, chec.org/freedom, and you can sign up for my emails there. That you can sign up for the blog, you can check out the Legislative District Connection there, and you my email is there, and definitely reach out.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for
Thank you.
sharing this incredibly important information with our listeners and all the insight on how they can get involved with defending homeschool freedoms and parental rights and religious liberty. This is Yvonne Strawn, today's host on the Huntington Way Show, where we support you in educating your kids. Thank you for joining us.